Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Coming up in just a minute, we'll have the Transgressors Memorial Service, where you can find out why Brother Andrew likes Kraft Heinz this week. In the meanwhile, we've got a news note from Ashley Hoffberger, Commissioner District 4 in Escambia County, put out a press release yesterday announcing that the Beach Gateway Project, the Welcome Sign to Pensacola Beach sign, is off. She writes, the Pensacola Beach Gateway Project has generated considerable public interest, and rightly so. Pensacola Beach is one of Escambia County's most treasured landmarks, representing both natural beauty and a deep sense of home for residents and visitors alike. In the spirit of transparency and community accountability, Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger is providing an important update on the project's current status and revised path forward. Friday, June 13th, 2025, so that's a week ago, Commissioner Hoffberger was noted that state funding for the Gateway Project was removed from the state budget, resulting in a $1.5 million reduction to the project's overall financial plan. Remember, these are all part of the list of things that if, like, you know, Alex Andrade asked for it, the governor might veto it. He expects him to veto it. We'll see what happens. I believe that was a her. I don't know if that was a Michelle Salzman line item, but in any case, it's not there now. Recognizing that earlier communication about the project left many with unanswered questions, Commissioner Hoffberger offered a heartfelt apology. Quote, I take full responsibility for the gaps in communication and any confusion that may have caused. Our community deserves clarity and openness, and I am fully committed to restoring both. In direct response to both the funding change and extensive community input, nearly 4,000 residents have weighed in. The scope of the project has been meaningfully revised. The updated plan prioritizes preserving the natural character of the beach while making practical necessary improvements to infrastructure and safety. There's still a fair bit of cost here, but it's basically going to be just the new toll booth plaza or structure, some sidewalk work, some road work, some lighting and improvements, but not the splashy sign. So everything other than the aesthetic effect. Further on in the press release, this is Ashley again. I still believe in this project and what it can do for our community, but I also recognize that our current strategy needs adjustment. I'm committed to working with our citizens to move forward in a way that is transparent, thoughtful, and fiscally responsible. So one of the things I like about Ashley is she'll apologize when needs to. She's done it twice over this project alone. That's good. I also would like, you know, because we had talked with her, gosh, now more than a month ago, 2 months ago. When did we talk? I tried to tell her, I said, people are upset about this. They want community input. They'd like to see submissions and then a group decide. And when we talked to her on the air, she wasn't open to that. I know there were reasons. Okay, I don't want to make it sound like it was just she wasn't uninterested in that. There are actual reasons. I still think that's the way forward. And I still, honestly, I hope that in the future, I mean, build this slimmed down version of the thing, and then maybe we can add decorative signage to it. If we can come up with one that people like, I would hope for that to be the outcome. But, you know, we'll see. And I asked her, I said, so it's erect or set light now? Is that what it's going to look? She's like, no. I'm meeting with the design people on Monday. We'll find something that preserves the natural beauty of the landscape, won't interfere with your view. It's as little intrusive as possible. So, you know, hopefully good. You know, hopefully good. So anyway, that was the news from yesterday about the sign project. So all those who hated every version of the sign proposals rejoiced. All those who were okay with at least some of the design proposals were a little bit sad. And then the rest of us who are hoping maybe in the future we can have an even better design for a cool welcome sign that we all are like, yeah, well, we're still optimistic. And that's where we land. 6:14 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to report to you. They cleaned up that one on University and 9 Mile, and I'm not seeing any delays on I-10, I-110. That's a look at your traffic. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. The history of the Blue Angels is presented by Calvert's in the Heights.
In the early years, the Blue Angels included a routine that used all four Bearcats in pursuit of an enemy Japanese Zero. This enemy aircraft was actually a training plane, the North American SNJ-5 Texan, painted bright yellow with a red Japanese rising sun on the fuselage and wings. The maneuver, called a thatch weave, in which the Bearcats would chase the Mach Zero, was a reenactment of an actual combat routine used in the Pacific Campaign. This tactic spelled doom for enemy aircraft over Guadalcanal, where it was first conceived and practiced. The early U.S. fighter planes of World War II were slow and unmaneuverable compared to the Japanese Zeros. By weaving back and forth in rapid succession, the American pilots caused the Japanese pilots to overshoot and often find themselves vulnerable to a shootdown by the American planes because the weaving action never allowed the Zero to target one American plane without exposing itself to the guns of the other. In the Blue Angels routine, this aerial dogfight would awe the spectators and then leave them stunned at what happened next. The Blue Angels would toy with the Zero for a while and then send it down smoking and out of control. The pilot of the Zero would eject, parachute safely, and be taken prisoner by a detachment of Marines on the ground. Meanwhile, the Zero would crash into the ground just out of the view of the crowd. Of course, the parachutist was an 80-pound dummy, the smoke was simulated, and the crash was an illusion. The Zero would simply swoop low across the horizon and fly away and out of sight. But that didn't stop would-be rescuers from mounting a search. It was not unusual for police, ambulance, and fire departments in the community to respond to frantic calls from citizens who saw the pilot eject and the plane go down. This despite the fact that the appropriate departments were notified in advance of the routine. This crowd pleaser was performed through their 1949 season. I'll be back with more after this.
Are you looking for a unique restaurant experience? It's Calvert's in the Heights, a one-of-a-kind English-themed restaurant and pub with stunning views of Escambia Bay. Enjoy delicious cuisine from British fare to American bar foods to fresh home-cooked meals. Or stop into the pub for a great selection of beers, liquors, and wines. You'll find it all at Calvert's. Don't miss the Red, White, and Blues Watch Party, Saturday, July 12th, 10:30 till 3. Replace the heat and traffic with cold AC and frosty drinks and the Blue Angels air show on the big screen. Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway.
The Blue Angels go to war, and this time, it's for real. In the next episode of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Bands on the Beach happens every Tuesday night at 7, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Come on out with a blanket or a lawn chair and get ready to catch the vibes on the sand behind the Gulfside Pavilion. This Tuesday, it's Goldmine. Goldmine is Pensacola's own classic rock band, bringing the golden era of rock back to life. From festival stages to a brand new Nashville-produced EP, Goldmine rocks all generations. It's all happening this Tuesday night at Bands on the Beach. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9 right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the word family, which the Waterloo, Ontario School Board recently identified as problematic. At the Waterloo-Oxford Secondary School, Canada's equivalent of a high school A, a recent re-education seminar helped staff learn that the word family carries with it such baggage that it should really just be dropped. Under the headline, Dismantling Whiteness at WO, Words Matter, the first bullet was that family has been, quote, identified as harmful by our racialized students. In Canada, racialized is what they call a minority, which we also love because it reveals race as something imposed upon them and also avoids the condescending reference to their lack of social power as a minority. Extra well-done language kudos to you, W.O. which is obviously halfway to full W-O-K-E, praise Gaia. Part of the reason family is so problematic as a word at W-O is that it values positions of male authority and hierarchy and gives preferential social status to the heterosexual nuclear family, even by using words like intact to marginalize divorced families or separated families as suffering some kind of rupture from the marriage norm. In fact, of course, the family term is so socially loaded because it tends to exclude the single parent, the same-sex parents, the multiple parent or polyparental structures, and basically anything other than the straight, white, undivorced, sexually exclusive Christian archetype. Please. But the half-woke school district really made an even keener observation when they noted that families are authoritarian by nature, demanding obedience, imposing unjustified restrictions upon the child, only allowing questions or challenges when the parent thinks it warranted, forcing children to sublimate their personal views and desires to the will of the family, denying personal boundaries, and perpetuating a system of unchosen forced allegiance to people whose primary claim to power is they forced you to come into this world in a state of powerlessness and utter dependence upon them. The family is unjust. There's no due process. There's no privacy, let alone private property. Free speech, freedom of religion, power of protest, protection against unreasonable search and seizure, right against self-incrimination, and so many other basic human rights are not even hinted at in the basic family structure or interactions with mom. In other words, families are the monarchy. They are the tyranny. They are the white supremacy culture. And it's no wonder that people don't like to see this question. That's why the fifth core dictum of wokeness exhorts us that the revolution starts in the nursery. Fight early, fight often. So fantastic job, Ontarians, for deprioritizing this bigoted and oppressive word family. There is one bright corollary to this. Some leaders are starting to grasp how monarchio-normative the family structure is, and they're changing their use of words to fight the power. California Governor Gavin Newsom recently wished his wife of 17 years a happy birthday, but in doing so, he was an agent of change. His exact words were, quote, "Happy birthday to the first partner of California, the outstanding mother of our four children and the love of my life," end quote. Now, obviously, we would have preferred the use of the term birthing person instead of mother, and perhaps he shouldn't have marginalized the lonely by rubbing his success at second marriages in their face. But to so actively eschew the white supremacy labeling of the so-called traditional marriage crowd by referring to Jennifer Newsom, yes, she did submit to the humiliation of having a masculine name branded on her ID cards forever, not as his wife, but as his partner. What a beautiful way to denormalize marriage, delegitimize monogamy, and include all the non-traditionalists in California in his embrace of alternate intimacy structures or no intimacy structure at all. Well done, Governor, and well done, Waterloo Oxford Secondary School. Your merit badges are in the mail. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, we do want to briefly acknowledge the inspiring work done last weekend at the No Kings rallies across America to distract from the 250th birthday of the United States Army, the 248th birthday of the United States flag, and the 71st anniversary of saying In God We Trust during that horrifically authoritarian Pledge of Allegiance. Of course, it was also the 79th birthday of Him Who We Do Not Name, and he had decided to have a military parade to indulge in the toxic masculinity of warmongering and saber-jiggling. As we all know, this man has installed himself as a king in the office of the presidency, and it was entirely appropriate to prove how much of a tyrant he is by making him allow us to protest against him in public all across America on his own birthday. The fact that these demonstrations were simply allowed to happen might seem like evidence that he isn't actually the despot we say he is, but that's just what he wants you to think. Of course, he wants you to think he's willing to let you protest. But that's just what a clever dictator does. He makes it seem like he's simply supporting the military and its sacrifices to make it possible to live in a country whose benefits are the envy of the world, with the demonstration of American pride in D.C. while we loyal opponents stand around with all the surplus wealth of a Western democracy that allows us time off and money for art supplies and an education so we can spell profanities correctly on our signs protesting him. Boy, we showed him. We definitely made our point about how totally wrong it is to hate, as we also told people how essential it is to hate him. And yes, I know, it was a little disappointing that we couldn't get more TV time for us and even less TV time for the parade, but no matter, we made our point and the whole country listened. As Saint Obama said, that man is an autocrat. And even though none of us know what the word autocrat means, it sounds very bad. And if the one great giver of the Obama phone says it, it must be true. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, This week's brass Birkenstocks with one hemp leaf goes to Kraft Heinz and General Mills for their efforts to eliminate artificial dyes from their food products. Now, I know it's unusual for us to praise any corporation, since as anti-capitalists, we despise corporations. Unless those corporations virtue signal correctly by, for instance, sponsoring our annual Rainbow People parades and requiring employees to include preferred pronouns on name tags and email signatures. Nevertheless, in this case, the artificial virtue performance over the removal of artificial colors is pitch perfect and deserves our admiration. As both food giant conglomerates explained in their press releases, they already don't use artificial dyes very much, just 15% of General Mills products and just 10% for Kraft Heinz ones. So the big virtue message is more headline than fine print. Also, we love that in framing the decisions as the result of a long ongoing process already in the works, they avoid giving any real credit to the current Secretary of Health and Human Services, the raspiest one of all, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This in turn means that he whose name shall not be spoken does not get mentioned in any way, and certainly not positively. But there's one part of the process and the releases which concerns us. Particularly in the case of Heinz, they say that even with the banning of red dye number 3, the iconic color of their flagship brand of ketchup will not be changing, because it's already made entirely from natural ingredients found in the red tomatoes. Oh dear, Otherin, this will not do. Not only do we want to see the old ketchup take on a new color, we need it to take on a new color so we can officially perform the virtue. As Fornblatt's third edict on the artificial performance of virtue teaches, if you signal a virtue but in a society no one sees it, did it really signal? So if you use some ketchup which looks the same as before, how can anyone see what you've done? No. Without visual evidence, there can be no purification of the charade. So although we know it's unnecessary, we demand that Heinz ketchup henceforth be manufactured with an unappealing brown color. To reaffirm that this is, let's say, new Heinz, and it's really completely additive-free. It's only by pouring unsightly brown goop on our hamburgers, hot dogs, and French, not freedom fries, that we can be sure our neighbors will see our devotion to eating uncontaminated food. Furthermore, we call upon the makers of condiments, all condiments, to follow suit. Not just Heinz, but French's and Plaquemines and Goulden should all agree to stop making mustard such a vibrant yellow and consider making it also brown, without dyes. New mustard. Same for relish. Why make something so vividly green when you could have a nice, chunky, brown sludge to pour on a hot dog and prove to the world that you're willing to sacrifice visual appeal for the sake of condiments so ostentatiously liberated from their artificial colorings. Now, obviously, General Mills starts this game with a bit of an advantage for its food items. Cheerios, for example, already arrive in the box basically the same color as they eventually leave the body. Kit Kat, Corn Chex, and Pillsbury Crescent Rolls already come in various shades of brown, so not much work to be done there. But Lucky Charms, Yoplait, Trix, Totino's, Hamburger Helper, and Häagen-Dazs offer plenty of chances to decolor the world as proof of the food additive reformation. If we can live without a sharp orange Kraft mac and cheese, we can live without any food coloring at all. And yes, I understand the irony of we, the people of the rainbow, advocating against flamboyant food colors. But that's how we prove our commitment to the official dogma of incomprehensibility. So be it. In a world of fruit flavors, we should aspire to have no fruit colors, and we can finally find out what brown can do for you. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Really? I got to do it. The brown that goes the same color brown that goes in.
Well,
out.
You know.
Oh, my goodness.
Just observing.
Too much. All right. Traffic is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. We have an accident that happened just right behind the studios here on the off-ramp to get onto Davis from I-110. It's a Tesla that's turned sideways, and first responders are on the scene trying to get that out of the way. But we are seeing some delays associated with that. But the rest of I-10 is looking good. Highway 90, 98, not seeing any delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
How else would you know that you're eating the most organicest of all foods? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. A federal appeals court now says that the Trump administration can deploy the California National Guard to control protests in Los Angeles. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said Thursday that the president is within his rights to deploy the troops during protests over immigration raids. President Trump says he'll decide within 2 weeks if the U.S. will intervene in the Iran-Israel conflict. White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt says that in the meantime, the president is allowing for the possibility of talks with Iran and says that correspondence between the U.S. and Iran is ongoing. The NYPD says that the alleged arsonist, apparently, that firebombed 11 police cars in Brooklyn last week was an anti-Israel agitator who had a grudge against police. Jockey Lodson McRae is wanted in connection with causing $800,000 in damage to New York police vehicles.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 4th of July fireworks put on by Pensacola Young Professionals and Pensacola Chamber all over downtown Pensacola. At 9 o'clock, the fireworks go off both here and on Pensacola Beach. Listen to the music on Cat Country 98.7 presented by Penn Air Federal Credit Union. Bring your radio and watch and listen at the same time.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump will decide his next move on Iran within the next 2 weeks as Iran lobs more missiles at Israel.
But hit in the town of Beersheba, very near an apartment and an industrial complex, causing fire and damage on the ground. No reports of injuries. There are reports that this single missile made its way through the air defenses because one of the interceptors malfunctioned.
Fox's Mike Tobin in Tel Aviv. European negotiators in Geneva today expected to talk with their Iranian counterparts. Overnight, the president retaining control over the California National Guard after a unanimous legal win.
The lower court judge ordered command of the troops back to Governor Gavin Newsom, concluding that the protests were not severe enough for President Trump to federalize the National Guard. But the appellate judges disagreed.
That's Fox's Chanley Painter. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got, looks like clear skies and 73 degrees in Pensacola this morning. A 37-year-old man has died after being shot by Escambia County deputies yesterday as they were attempting to take him into custody on felony warrants for a previous domestic violence incident. This happened at a local Arby's restaurant on Highway 98. Officials say Daniel Hayes had been spotted outside of the Arby's location on Highway 98. When deputies confronted Hayes, he reportedly ran into the restaurant and grabbed a knife. Deputies say they told him to drop that knife, but he refused and was shot. Hayes died at the scene. Investigators say he was wanted on warrants for domestic battery, strangulation, aggravated assault, burglary, and grand theft. Nobody else in the restaurant was hurt. No deputies were injured. The sheriff's office says three deputies are on paid administrative leave as the Florida Department of Law Enforcement investigates the incident. Well, the search is apparently still ongoing in Okaloosa County for the missing 10-year-old swimmer, Trinity Esslinger. Louisiana's United Cajun Navy was out in the Gulf yesterday. They're still looking for the 10-year-old. She went missing now just over a week ago, swimming in Destin. The sheriff's office gave up their search on Wednesday, but about 50 volunteers from the Cajun Navy continue looking for signs of Trinity. An official with the Cajun Navy says they didn't find anything yesterday, but that search will continue today. We've got an update on that attempted child abduction out of Niceville we learned about earlier this week. Police in Niceville say the report was bogus and that it never happened. Investigators say the child that reported the abduction has abduction attempt, that is, has now admitted to making the story up. Previously, a boy said a man in a blue SUV had offered him a ride, then tried to force him into the vehicle. He's now admitted to police that that did not happen. Police say the boy could potentially face a charge for filing a false report. Now, local senior residents now have some assistance available for food supplies.
Hurricane season's here, and now is the perfect time to stock up on non-perishable food items, especially if you're a senior citizen. On Wednesday, FPL and Council on Aging of West Florida distributed meal kits to senior residents at Westminster Village. About 10,000 kits are being distributed to more than 3,000 seniors across Northwest Florida during this hurricane season. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. And a Volusia County man is facing charges related to the child's death in a hot vehicle. Ormond Beach's Scott Gardner was arrested yesterday. His one-year-old son died 2 weeks ago after being left in a hot truck. The sheriff's office says that the boy was in that truck for 3 hours while Gardner was drinking inside a bar. The boy's body temperature reached 111 degrees. Gardner's charged with aggravated manslaughter of a child and child neglect, causing great bodily harm. It's 6:35. News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Still dealing with that accident that happened on the exit ramp. Let's see here. The off-ramp to get onto Davis from I-110. Tesla's turned sideways, and the first responders are on the scene with that one. Other than that, the rest of I-10 looks good. Let's see here. Highway 90, 98 are all flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We will have a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms as you go throughout your day today. High near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Saturday, 40% chance of rain. High near 90 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Keeping that rain chance around on Sunday with a 40% chance of rain and a high near 90 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 75 degrees. Our next news at 7 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were little changed this morning as markets continued to monitor the conflict between Israel and Iran, in which President Trump is considering ordering direct U.S. intervention. The yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury was last seen trading marginally higher. Eutelsat shares popped 22% this morning after the European satellite operator announced more than a $1.5 billion capital raise led by the French state and backed by other investors. The company said that the capital increase would support its investment in its existing low Earth orbit capabilities. U.S. asset management giant Apollo is set to provide a $6 billion loan to plug a shortfall facing U.K. nuclear project Hinkley Point. The deal would be among the biggest private capital investments in a project of U.K. national interest. Futures are slightly lower. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 44, the NASDAQ up 25, the S&P 500 down 1. Once again, futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
What does the future of mobility in Michigan sound like? That's the sound of new EV charging stations at our state parks. That's the sound of over $20 billion in new investments to produce EVs and batteries in Michigan. And that? That's the silence of Michigan's new En-ROAD wireless charging system. Discover all the ways MEDC is driving next-gen mobility in Michigan at michiganbusiness.org.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Progressive presents Employee of the Month. Small Business Edition. Today's recipient from Michaela's Mobile Spa, Michaela. Michaela got a quick business insurance quote from Progressive and chose from over 30 customizable coverages. Sure, it helps she's her only employee and does literally everything. But while others would rest on their laurels, Michaela was hard at work saving big. So take that, hypothetical other employee who doesn't exist. Be your own Michaela. See if you could save in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage is not available in all states or for all vehicles and coverage selections.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need.
It's easy to sign up for text alerts.
Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning, 6:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. Weird, I know, but we have a meeting of the Escambia County Commission today on a Friday. Maybe the first time? It's the first time I can remember it. Anyway, Wes Mariner is the county administrator. We always like to talk to Wes before the meetings. Wes, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Good morning. Is this the I don't remember ever having a Friday meeting. Is this the first time?
I can't recall one either. It's quite possibly it may be the first time.
It's
certainly the first meeting after a holiday.
Right. Yeah. No. That's true. I hadn't been thinking about that. Yesterday was Juneteenth, so that makes sense. Okay. I was kind of wondering why the Friday, but that actually does make more sense. I appreciate that. And also, I'm sure weird for everybody's clock. Everybody on your staff that's got to be at these meetings, like, what? It's Friday? No. It's so weird. Things on the agenda. Yeah. One has been dropped. One is still on there. The one that's been dropped. Ashley Hoffberger has pulled the request for the Pensacola Beach welcome sign, as I understand it. And the basic gist of this is $1.5 million got nixed from the budget. So the decorative portion of the toll plaza renovation isn't going to happen. But the toll mechanism and some kind of thing that's going to hold that is still going to go into place, right? There's still a thing to be built, right?
Yeah, we're still going to demo the toll booth structure as it exists. We're going to install a gantry system. And some road work, resurfacing, multi-use paths, some landscaping. I think it's going to be a great project. I think Commissioner Hoffberger really was trying to do something unique, I guess I would say, there with the decorative piece. And, maybe we got a little bit out there as far as the design, the rendering, but I thought the concept and the desire to do something really nice for the community was genuine. And she asked a good question the other day, and honestly, I hadn't thought about it. She goes, do we have to have the metal structure over the road? Can we put it, like, on posts to the side for the gantry system?
Yeah.
And I hadn't thought about that. I said, well, that's a good question. So, we've got with the engineer and the consultant to give me concepts to what a minimalized gantry system would look like. And how it would function. So we're looking into that. I thought it was a really unique question, a really good question. And I think when the project's all over and done with, I think everybody's going to be happy with it.
Well, I certainly hope so. I still hold out hope. I mean, I liked the idea of it. It just was the specific design that I had some, concerns about. But, if we're not going to do something decorative, let's go minimalist. And people had asked the question, can we not basically make it look like almost the red light camera post? I mean, just something very unobtrusive, if that can be done. And, I'm glad that you guys are looking into that. That's fantastic. The other item that's on the agenda for today, the main item, was it's the financing deal for the $25 million artificial turf project at the John R. Jones fields, right?
Yeah, it is. And then that's the whole reason for the meeting today. We've got a few other items on there, but that was the whole reason. We're on a time crunch, if you will, to get that done. So that's what we're doing. That's the main function of this morning's meeting.
And now that when you say time crunch on establishing the financing, not time crunch on, because we don't have a vendor yet, right? There's no, we have
no,
the general.
Establishing the financing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as you know, I sent an email in for all the commissioners and for you, just because I had asked the Haas Center, hey, can you do me the freebie version of your overview? And they did. And I thought that even best case scenario, we still lose money every year on taxes, even if we fill it with 80 team 50 times a year. But I know there's more than just the tax revenue to be considered. All I was asking for is let's do the $3,000 study. Let's do the real study. If it's a good project, it's going to bear out. And if it's not a good project, well, we want to find out before we spend $25 million, right?
Yeah, I hear you. I think it's going to be a great project. I think it's going to be successful. I think in the long run, it will be successful. we're already getting phone calls from organizations wanting to schedule tournaments, and we're not even under construction yet. So,
when do I get to drive on the road that's in design?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a popular venue for sports tourism here in the area, and looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it.
One of the things we talked a lot about this week was the decision made to initially end the Human Rights Commission, Human Relations Commission, and then to kind of give it a little bit more time to play out. As I understand it, the goal here is just to bring it in-house to do the same function with more oversight and better accountability for the use of the funds. But you guys are committed to having people on the ground, taking calls, showing up at doors. Like, that's going to be the end shape of the people who have complaints about housing and employment discrimination, right?
Absolutely. That is what we're going to do. I've already had some meetings last week, talked to some folks, and we're going to get back together here probably not this week but the week after and just see where we both stand. But, yes, that is what we are going to do. Absolutely.
I know it was a long, contentious kind of conversation, but I found it frustrating because I thought Mike was very clear again and again. Mike Kohler was very clear again and again that, mm-hmm. you know, we're not going to just abandon people and go with the portal, and it kind of got framed as a straw man argument. But I understand the concern. People are scared they're going to lose access to a service, which can do a very good thing, does an important thing. We're talking to Wes Moreno. He's the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, hang on for just a second. Let's get traffic on the fives from John Pickens. John?
That's right. If you're on I-10 westbound over the Escambia Bay Bridge, avoid the left-hand lane. There's a tire shred there. It's in the middle of the left-hand lane, so just be aware of that. And let's see here. Also still dealing with the accident that happened with that Tesla on the I-10 ramp. Let's see here. The I-10 ramp. Coming from I-110 onto Davis, and it's off to the side of the road, but we're still seeing some minor delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. Back to Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator. Wes, you guys own the library. The library is a part of your domain, you know, Escambia County. The software system is really a mess. Early on, it was a problem of getting logged in. Then it was, you know, making reservations, and I know some of the employees are now actually calling people to tell them their reservations are in because they don't feel like they can trust the notifications. The downtown Spring Street doesn't even have the manual checkout. You can't self-check anymore because of the software. I know the employees are frustrated. I'm sure the users are a little bit frustrated. What's the status of this? I know you're aware of this, but what are we doing to fix this?
So we've been working with the vendor. You know, we did a software migration, and it hasn't gone well. Things like being able to use your debit card and some of those things, as you mentioned, the reservations and such. But we've been working hard with the vendor, and hopefully here in a couple of weeks we'll have things ironed out and settled in. But it has been a struggle, there's no doubt. It's been a struggle. I will say that the vendor probably hasn't been as responsive as they could be or as they should be. And so we've really been trying to get with them and put some pressure on them to realize the you know where we're at and what needs to be done and to actually finish the migration, make it successful, and put it in place. But it has been a struggle. There's no doubt.
Was there? I appreciate that, and I sure hope there's a solution in the soon. I don't really know the background on this. Why did we switch softwares? Was it a cost savings? Was the old one going away? Because you know, the old one seemed to work fine. That's why I ask.
Well, we were trying to be a little more efficient, honestly. The old one was kind of getting outdated, and we were trying to upgrade and put a better system in place. And we thought we were on the right track, and maybe we will in the end, but there's quite a few growing pains in the process right now.
Man, if we had a dime for every time we tried to do something good with software...
Software has not been our success with software migrations has not been the best.
It must be very complicated and difficult because as many times as this comes up, whether it's the voting mechanism for the board meetings or EMS or anything else, it just seems like, oh no, software. it's got to be infuriating,
right.
Everybody. Hey, a couple of good things that are going on. I want to talk about the Galvez boat ramp improvements. $5 million, a bunch of new spaces, a reconfiguration to be more efficient. Is that right?
That is right. That's funded by Restore. But yeah, exactly right. It'd be a big project, very good project. And let me just reassure everybody, we're not removing the picnic table in the sitting area. We're not doing that. So that will remain. But we will actually reconfigure the boat ramp and resurfacing, repaving, reestablishing some things. And that is going to be a fantastic thing.
Is that going to be – people who don't know the area laugh about you mentioning the picnic table, but no, that's a very real concern for people in that area.
It's a very real concern.
The work is going to be done in the off season, I assume, in the winter. It's not going to be done during the summer, or am I wrong? You tell me.
We'll do as much of it in the off season as we can. As long as the temperatures allow for our asphalt work, we will do as much as we can in the off season.
Very good. Also, kind of a neat project, the Carpenter Creek Headwaters Water Quality and Park Project. The Carpenter Creek, it's always surprising to me. Carpenter Creek starts so far north. It's actually north of I-10. Ensley, I guess, is the vicinity up there. But this, tell people what this project is going to be, because I think it's a really interesting one.
Well, one of the main functions is improved water quality.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be a main function. There'll be some walking paths and some natural areas, green spaces. And it's going to be a whole, it's like five or six different large components to this thing. And it's going to be a great project. I think the public's going to be really impressed and will really enjoy it once it gets established. And again, the main goal is water quality. We did get $1 million from the state for the project. So we're happy about that. But we got some FDEP grants as well. So it's going to be a good amenity in the community that's being paid for with grant dollars or state funding.
No, it's good. And, that's an area where there's not a lot of that green space, kind of public stuff that's available. And when I think about what this can be, I know it's not the same, but I think of the, what's the name of the park over by Dreamland Skate? That's one of my favorite, it's a retention pond, I know, but that's one of my favorite public amenities because it integrates that aesthetic functionality. You don't have fencing around it. All of those things are put into one. And, I'm hoping the park around Carpenter Creek Headwaters will be the same way.
Yeah, that's a good analogy, yeah.
The Pensacola State College, you guys are working with them about $500,000 for improvement on the pipeline for teaching people the trades. Is that right?
Yeah, we call it block by block. In fact, they just had a little bit of a graduation the other week. But yeah, it's $500,000 in what they're doing. We're partnering with them, teaching folks to come in and do masonry or carpentry or plumbing or whatever the trade electrical, the trades are. We're putting people through that academy, and they'll come out with a certification, and then hopefully they'll be able to help them get a job placement and work their way up. So yeah, it's a good program. Lumen May. It's a Lumen May program.
Yeah, I mean, the more we can do to cultivate the trades, it's one of these things that, as a guy with a college degree, I have a lot of respect for the fact that these people earn a lot of money doing essential things, and you find out maybe too late that we don't have enough of the people who do the basic trades that make things happen, especially in a growing area like Escambia County. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. Look forward to the meeting. It's this morning, right? It's a 9 a.m. meeting, so public comment at 8:30, meetings at 9 o'clock. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
Very good, sir. Weird to talk to you on a Friday, but good to talk to you. I appreciate the time keeping us up to date on all the stuff the county is doing, and we'll talk to you again next time. Wes Moreno, thanks for the time.
All right, thank you, Andrew. We'll see you.
Absolutely. 6:53 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Party down with a big bang as Shelton Fireworks celebrates being in business for 50 years. They're located on I-10 and Exit 53. That's the first Alabama exit in Robertsdale, Alabama. Shelton's has the world's largest selection with over 35,000 square feet of fireworks. They have the largest finale cakes and the largest mortars legal in the USA. If it goes boom, Shelton's got it. Located on I-10 and Exit 53. That's the first Alabama exit in Robertsdale, Alabama. For more info, go to sheltonsfireworks.com. Shelton's Fireworks, home of the big ones.
If you are a fan of Joann's Fabrics, you're gonna love Daryl Sewing of Pensacola. Daryl Sewing is the largest sewing and embroidery machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering lots of apparel fabric, children's fabric, and quilting fabric, in addition to sewing machine furniture, sewing and embroidery supplies, and notions. Financing is available. 850-438-5444. Remember, Daryl Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway, between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Secret offers, guaranteed returns, over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit SLOFR.gov to learn more.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good. Adaptation, improvisation. But your weakness is not your technique.
Good morning, 6:55, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I know, just, you know, don't talk over the good music. All right, fine. All right, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're still dealing with, if you're on I-10 westbound, right around mile marker 17, which is on the Escambia Bay Bridge before you approach Scenic Highway, there is a shredded tire in the left-handed lane. The left lane.
The left-handed lane.
I know, because I'm
We got the special lane for all the left-handed people.
That's right. We are special. So just be aware of that. Let's see here. Not seeing any delays on Highway 90, 98, 9 Mile, or Highway 29. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
For left-handed people only.
Exactly.
Today. Hey, if you have any problem with pests, you've got, you know, ants, roaches, fleas, ticks, snakes, I don't know, problems with pests, you know, whatever they are, they are. Okay. NSEC can take care of them. Professionally trained technicians safely and effectively eliminate those pests inside and outside. Also taking preventative steps to keep other ones from getting into your home. They show up on time. They take photos of what's going on. Of course, having an estimate is totally free. They'll look at what you're doing. And if you go with them, they treat, they photograph, they send you. You have a comprehensive record so you know exactly what was done and how effective it was. For a limited time, new annual pest control customers get $50 off. There are some restrictions, so, you know, read the contract. Again, estimates are totally free, and you can sign up or find out more information at NSEC, E-N-S-E-C. .net. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The wife of Minnesota Senator John Hoffman is now out of the hospital after suffering multiple gunshot wounds last week in that assassination attempt. Hoffman and her husband were shot at their home near Minneapolis last Saturday morning. Police say the suspect also shot Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband, killing them. The sex trafficking trial of Sean Combs resumes today in New York. His personal assistant is expected to take the stand today. And the Israeli military says it carried out dozens of airstrikes on military targets in Iran overnight. Some of the targets reportedly included a research facility involved in the nuclear development program and a plant that manufactures carbon fiber, which could be used to make weapon systems. Iranian media says an industrial plant in northern Iran was also damaged in the attack, hours after Israel warned residents to move away from the nearby areas.
So Israel attacks military sites and warns the civilians in advance to leave the area. Iran attacks civilian sites. Surprise.
That's okay. About the gist of
all right,
it, yeah.
Just making sure. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. I appreciate that. Hey, if you are a business, you have employees, you have to deal with things like HR and payroll and health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, all of that stuff, all the fun stuff. Like, you get into business and, you know, you have to lay IT or, you know, repair HVAC, but you get to do employee benefits. No, nobody thinks that way. That stuff is the headache. It's the red tape. It's annoying. It's important. but annoying, right? So that's why you call Torgers and Causey, because they like taking care of that stuff. They're, you know, different in a good way, because they're good at it. We've been using them here at News Radio for about 4 years, Cat Country. We've been, you know, using them for our benefits, and they're fantastic. I mean, honestly, fantastic. Better options, better plans, choices, and much better customer service than we ever had before. So we are big fans. My wife, and I said my wife because she was an industrial engineer. So she's, you know, the efficiency and the details. She's the one who asks, and she gets a lot of times not good answers, but from Torgerson Causey, we always get good answers. 433-9996 for Torgerson Causey. Free, no obligation review for them to come check out what you're doing. Check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. Book bans, library access, Escambia County trying to figure out what to do with all these materials. We'll talk about it coming up next. Local.